At this time, we are going to continue in our series on Jeremiah. We're coming toward the end of it. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Hope it will continue to be a blessing today as we talk about tearing down a few more walls and building up in Christ. So here we go.
All right, there's some country for you. You can dance right now if you need to. Unless you're Baptist, please don't. We don't want you getting in trouble.
Every front door found me hoping. I would find the back door open.
If you like this song, raise your hand. Give me a like, huh? You like that? If you hate this song, don't do that. Oh, I want a little more. Come on. Come on. I'm ready to go. I've got a little belly rubbing up. Come on, Teresa. Come on, baby. Let's do it. No? No.
All right. Dungeon with its walls of stone.
I like Merle Haggard. Do you like Merle Haggard? Anybody remember Brad Sledge? Keep it up. Keep it up. Come on. Don't kill it. It's, come on. Get that music up. Quit trying to kill me. Come on. There we go. Brad Sledge. He doesn't like Merle Haggard. He gave him a jump, and Merle Haggard didn't say thank you. So there you go. That's a, I like that song. Thank you. Go ahead. Bring it back up. No, that's fine.
Every front door found me hoping
that I would find the back door open. All right, little Merle Haggard, I gave it away for you. Come on, give me the year. You know you got to get the year. Jimmy, what's the year? What year is it from, Jimmy? I don't know. That's a good answer. Come on, help me out. Come on. Yell it out. I'll catch you. What year? Who? Raise your hand. Come on. I don't have my dinner mints to throw. 65. What do you say over here? What year? 68. Come on. I got 65, 68. What else? In the back, I see the Longhorn shirt. What is it?
76.
Getting closer, Bubba. Chicken fried pie. 78. Who said 78? Get your hand up. There it is. You Googled it, didn't you? All right. All right. 1978. Now, that is so sad that you guys don't like Merle Haggard enough to... Dennis, you don't like Merle Haggard? No, you into all that rock and roll, ain't you? Yeah, well, that's okay. Merle Haggard, that was from the album that was called Working Man Can't Get Nowhere Today. Some of you know that statement, but... anyhow, it gave us a peak. It peaked at number 12 on the charts, but more importantly, it gave us, if you will, here we go, a peek into the hearts of really what people in our country are a lot alike. A lot of us are like that there, in the sense that we hear that song, The Running Kind. And the lyrics that we said there, we see him, he said, I was born the running kind with leaving always on my mind. Home was never home to me at any time. That is not a blues brother. That's Timmy Burke. Go ahead and give him a hand. That's fine. Someone thought the Blues Brothers is in the house, huh? That's right. Anyhow, I like this. Where it is. Every front door found me hoping I would find the back door open. And guys, how often in your life would you say that you maybe came into relationships or came into communities or came into this church looking for the back door? Having an exit strategy was always part of your life. Not everyone's that way, but that would have been my life. This whole running kind thing. Every 2.5 years, man, I've wore out my welcome. I'm looking for the next thing to do. Am I the only one here? Because you can go home if this doesn't resound with anybody. We'll just leave. But that would have been it, certainly, with the running kind. When you look at it and you think about these whole things, we begin to think of the other line of these things where it says, within me there's a prison surrounding me alone, as real as any dungeon with its walls of stone. I know running's not the answer, but running's always been my nature and a part of me that keeps me moving on. Guys, in a world that we see the average marriage separating at 7 years and the average employee lasts 4.5 years, And the average college coach lasts 4 years, unless it is at the University of Houston, that we realize that there's not a lot of commitment in life that takes us beyond a certain period of time. That we realize that we have something in us that makes us wonderfully, that wants us to go where it's more comfortable. Because when it gets uncomfortable, when people get up and you look at you and start not liking you, the tendency to want to go is what you want to do. My favorite line from Honeysuckle Rose, I love that movie. Who loves the Honeysuckle Rose there? Yeah, you got to love that, you bunch of rednecks. But I just love it when Slim, not Slim Whitman, hold on, come on out. Huh? There you go. Anyhow, he says, Buck, why'd you leave? And he says, I just want to sing, and Willie Nelson says, I just want to sing a bunch of old songs to a bunch of new friends. And he replies back and says, how about writing a bunch of new songs to a bunch of old friends? The point is, when we feel like we're done with what we have, we want to go somewhere else. But the thing is, God's not done creating in us what he's going to do. As we saw Alana and saw Bill and Tammy Berry up here, the tendency is, I'm done. It's not. There's much more songs to sing. There's much more plans to make. There's much more ministry to do. That we're not the running kind. It isn't what we're in, because the running kind goes against and is contradictory to the call of the kingdom, because the kingdom makes one fundamental decision. George L. Ladd would say, he said this here, it is a fundamental demand, it's a demand for a decision. Life is made of decisions. The course of every man's life is determined by those decisions. And some people go through their lives wavering, unsure of themselves, never able to say a distinct yes or a distinct no. They throw their lives away and their energy away on inner conflict, indecision, always running from this and running to that, from this job, from that job, from that town to that town, and from this church to that church. And they end up wasting their life because they're unable to come and make that decision that's there. You see, the basic demand of the kingdom is a response of man's will, he would write. Men must receive it. They must yield to it. And Jesus gives this parable that you can really sink into, and it's here in Matthew 13:44. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had, and he bought the field. Now, that's a little funny parable to us, because we don't understand why he didn't just take the treasure and leave. Well, back then they had a conscience. And so the purpose was, he kind of was not being fair. He hid that treasure, and he went and bought the field, because the most precious thing that he knew existed, the kingdom, was what God, Jesus was saying, that when you see the kingdom of God, you need to buy the field. It's the kingdom makes this demand. It says to us, repent, turn, and then make a decision. Receive this kingdom. Receive the kingdom of God and all that it has for you. Receive its life. Receive its blessings. Receive the destiny of the kingdom of God that comes through Jesus Christ. Don't do anything but yield to what it wants to do to you. God doesn't call us to live, to have a perfect life. He gives us a perfect life. He doesn't call us to become righteous. He makes us righteous. And this is what we do. We yield to the kingdom of God, and we embrace the kingdom of God. And when you embrace something, you bring it in for the big hug, and you latch hold of it, and you hang on to it. And that, my friend, is called commitment. And that's exactly what God calls to his kingdom of God, is that the running kind won't make it in the kingdom of God. The running kind cannot make it because they cannot commit, and that's what we're called to. Jesus, in essence, says this here, and here's my new saying for you. Buy the field. You like that? Say it with me on three. One, two, three.
Buy the field.
We're going to make a shirt out of that one there, huh? Buy the field. That's right. That's for you Southern people. So there it is. The kingdom of God demands buy-in. And it's basic. It's so basic because God basically puts his message out there. You buy in so that I can put into you the things that I can buy into you, in that sense. There's a buy-in that goes with it. And what does that buy-in look like to you? I mean, what is God calling you to? Where's your commitment? These are the things. What is moving inside of you? What is he pushing forward into you? I know in my life, that the buy-in for my life was this here, was to stand there knowing that music was everything to me and have him say to me, I'm calling you to come and be a pastor and to plant a church. And for John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, look at me and say, Raymond, when are you going to give this rock and roll thing up and start preaching like you know you're called to? And I remember saying to him, well, John, when it's not fun anymore. Because my buy-in was to the fun. If it wasn't fun, I wasn't buying in. But he said to me, will you do one thing? Given the opportunity to preach, will you take that opportunity? I said, certainly, John, I'll do that. Of course, I never figured anyone would ever ask me to preach. But as soon as I said that, I started getting people to ask me to come to middle America, all kinds of small towns, and preach in Presbyterian, Methodist, even Catholic churches around North America. All of a sudden, when I said, here's the buy-in, yes, things begin to happen. Things begin to change in my life. The direction of my life began to change. It was there. Because Jesus knew this here. If I'm buying into something because here's the treasure, here's my heart, he says this here, he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart are going to be. If you're buying the field because you want the treasure that's in the field, your heart's going to be so attached to that. That's what's going to lead you and guide you and bring you into the love relationship he's got for you. There's no way to experience love without buy-in. Not real love. And why don't we buy in? Because we don't want to get burned. Why don't you buy in? Because I don't want someone taking from me. I don't want to be the one who gets, you know, cheated on. I don't want to be the loser in this. And all in our lives, we understand that's what's been given. I say it here, when you come to church and buy in, it's like opening up your jacket and saying, take a free kick. Because when we go into relationship and we open up, that's what we have the opportunity to give people the opportunity to do, is to come in and to take advantage, to hurt us. And here sits God saying, buy in. Buy the field. Buy the field. So if you want the treasures of God's kingdom, and I'd sit back and say that would be life and peace and security and Cadillacs. I would just sit back and, that's the joke, you can laugh on the Cadillac, all right? Thank you. Actually, it's the riches of the kingdom of God that supersede anything you can own in this world. But if you want those things, guys, buy the field. Otherwise, I have to ask you, what field are you playing ball in? Where is your life? What are you doing? Commitment is the call of the kingdom, buy-in. And that's exactly what God's message was to the prophet Jeremiah. As we look at chapter 32, and you can turn there with me, we understand this is exactly what Jeremiah is going into. Now, it says here in verse 2 of chapter 32, and I'm quickly moving you in there, said the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal place of Judah. Now, why is he being confined? Well, he's being in prison. Why? Because he's prophesying, look, we're going to lose to Babylon. God is using Nebuchadnezzar to bring us into discipline because we've sinned. So God wants you to give up and be taken away to some foreign land and to give your life away and just submit to God and what he's telling you to do. Now, for this, it looks like a seditious act. He looks like he's a traitor. Why wouldn't he? So they have now confined him to the courtyard where now he is a prisoner. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, Hanamel, son of Shalom, your uncle, which makes Hanamel his cousin, is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as a nearest relative, it's your right and duty to buy it. Anathoth was Jeremiah's hometown, which is about 3 miles to the north, so he knows what's going on. His cousin's going to come and ask him to buy this field. Then, just as the Lord said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the garden and said, buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself. I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver, about 7 ounces, and I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed out the silver on the scales. Now you're sitting back going to Dango, this is really exciting. Wow, Jeremiah buys his cousin field. Can we go home? I understand where you're at. You know, and on first read, you might go there. But I want us to look a little bit at any narrative. We must do so. And certainly this is an oracle or God speaking through him in this enactment prophecy. We must understand that what's going on is when God gave Abraham the promise and his descendants the promise, and they took him into the promised land, he told Israel this here. He said that what you got to do, these people will get land divided up amongst their tribes and their families, and this will be their inheritance. And they'll always hand that down. They're never to sell this land off beyond their tribe. It's supposed to be there. That way, if someone goes through a difficult time, then a family member will buy that land from them. Then after the end of Jubilee, which would have been in those 7 years, depending on when they bought it, then they get to buy it back if they've got the money prorated for the years that are there, for those who are really interested in that. And if they can't afford it, then at the end of the next 7 years, I think it works like this, is then the land goes back to that person. Meaning this here, you never lost your family inheritance. You didn't do that. But the big issue here was that the way families worked was that I help you by buying your land. And I know this here. I won't get to keep your land. The only way that land's going to be any good to me is that I can farm it and put some crops on it and get some of that money back. Right? Well, didn't I just tell you there's a major war been going on? Matter of fact, by the time that this is going on, most of the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding towns have been taken into captivity in Babylon. There's not a lot of people left to be buying food. There's not a way for Jeremiah to even go and farm because I just told you he's a prisoner. And he doesn't know when the next group of guys will get taken into exile and taken to Babylon. He has no idea that there'll ever be another country whereby that field can ever be used for anything else. You understand what I'm saying? It's useless to him. And matter of fact, the way it looks is if he believes in God's promises that in 70 years he's going to bring everyone back because he's done prophesied this to the people. By the time that they would come back from that exile 70 years later, then he would have to hand the deed over to his cousin and say, well, there you go, and his cousin's family, and go, there's the land that I purchased from your father. I have to return it back to you because the time now has passed. Meaning he wasn't given a loan. He was given money to Hanamel. Now, Hanamel, why is he selling the land? Well, he's probably struggling financially because they're at war, and he can't work it. R2, he's sitting back going, this whole place is going to Helsinki in a handbasket. I might as well sell this land to my prophet cousin over here because he's an idiot who keeps believing in this stuff. Maybe he'll put his money where his mouth is and buy my land. Well, that's what he did. He did it because that's what God told him to do. And he says here, I took the deed of purchase, verse 11, the sealed copies containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy. I gave a deed to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel and of the witness who had signed the deed and all the Jews sitting in the courtyard and guard. This is all real estate stuff. You can ask Estelle Dawson about all this. She understands ancient Jewish real estate law. She'll help you with that. So, And in the presence of Baruch, which is his scribe, it's his helper, it's Jeremiah's hands and feet, basically, because Jeremiah can't do anything. This is what the Lord Almighty God Israel says, take these documents, both the sealed and unsealed copies of the deed of purchases, and put them in a clay jar so they'll last a long time. Now, real quick, this is interesting in one archaeological sense. The reason they would put these things in these earthen jars was so that they would keep. And one would always be sealed in an earthen jar or pottery, and then the other one would be left out so you could go back and consult it later. But there's no consultation on these things. They're at wartime. They're under siege. So they're putting everything in these earthen jars and putting them back. Why? Because it's Jeremiah saying, I'm keeping this here for when God brings back his people, these documents will be here so that the people will know how to sort these things out. Because he has the eternal belief that God is going to restore this city. Now, by the way, siege works have been laid. They would come up against the city and they would shut it off. There's plague and famine. You just saw that. People were dying. It's the most horrific scene you've ever seen. And he is buying a field in this city. Well, I don't have to tell you how crazy he sounds this, for this here. It says here, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. Now, the reason I say that is because the kingdom call to buy, to buy in, test our faith. It tests our faith. Because it often comes, if not most often, it's a word I like, but they told me that's too many words, often comes at difficult times. Buy-in generally doesn't, the one that tests your faith, doesn't seem to come at those good and easy times, does it? Buy-in generally comes against the grain. And in this case here, this is exactly what's going on. And so when we're in a place like this and you're loving church and everything's fine, buy-in's easy. But there's times, maybe you've been to a church where people are leaving town and things. It's hard to stay. It's hard to be a part of something that don't smell like victory. By the way, things smell pretty good to me today. So there you go. But you get where I'm at. It's hard to buy in difficult times. But that's what God calls us to do. You see, Hebrews 11:1 in a read from the New King James Version, because some of you still like your King James, right, Jackie? It's good, so good to see you in Francie today. You off King, you done threw your King James Bible away and got he didn't throw it away. He put it in the drawer. You can't throw it away. That's bad news. So, but in this, the New King James is going to help you out there for Steve Bullfinchery. Here it is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You've read this. Hawk, you even know this. You've known this since she's a little kid. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I read it to you because of that. But I want you to understand that word that's being used there, the evidence of things not seen, is a Greek word. It actually is a real estate term. Yeah, you say, come on, give me a break. No, it is. It's that's been done in terms of real estate contract. In essence, it's a deed, an accomplished fact, what is done or being accomplished specifically in a commercial transaction. In this sense, the faith that you have is something that's been done and it's in a sealed jar waiting for you, and that you could actually consult it, but it's sitting there waiting for you, for God to show you his fullness of what's going to happen. When you have faith in something, you can pretty much know the deed has been signed and put in there when your faith is put on the words of God. Do you understand that? It's there waiting for you. It's a proven fact. It's not something you're just hoping for. It's hoping, it says, for something that's not seen, but something that is real, tangible. It is a sealed deal. And it's hard when we go through the difficult times, but that's what faith is. Here's the one I like. When Jesus is sitting there and he's talking to Thomas, and Thomas says, well, you know, I want to touch the holes here and all that. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with Thomas when he does all that. It's a whole nother story, because people come up to me and want me to look at where they got a shot or something. I can't look at it. I mean, they want me to touch their wrist, weird stuff. Don't touch my wrist. I don't want to touch your wrist. I don't want to hear about any medical stuff. Please don't tell me your blood pressure. It makes me dizzy when I think of those numbers. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I don't like medical stuff at all. But Thomas, he wants to touch Jesus' holes and things. He's sick. In that, when he does, he says, you know, man, okay, I got it. You're really Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He said, because you've seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And he's talking about himself, Jesus is. That's the context. And there your faith starts today if you don't know this Jesus Christ. He is the real deal and he's sealed. But that tomb is broken open and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, resurrected. And that's a powerful thing for your life. He's not some unseen spirit flitting around. Resurrected body. No, I've never seen his resurrected body. But I've in every way encompassed the living Jesus Christ in my life. And I've met many others who have too. But let's take it beyond that. When Jesus starts working my life and Jesus has a call on my life, I know this here, that I can trust him just as I trust that he's real. I can trust his word is real because he is the word of life. And I'm tying you to that raft because you're going to float together on that kind of faith that understands us here. That my faith, I'm really blessed when I can believe in something that isn't real tangible. And you can join something that's really happening and get involved in it and buy into that. But the blessing comes when you can buy into something that no one else is believing in, and then you see it grow. There's a lot of people right now who've got some Twitter stock that are enjoying themselves right now with that. But it's that way when you start things up with ministry. It's that way when you get involved with a church plant and you get things going. It's that way when you get involved with something that's coming from the ground up. It's powerful because you see it and God's given you the vision to see it, and your buy-in is something that comes with great returns. Do we understand what I'm saying here today? Well, chicken fried pie and Cap'n Crunch in the carton of bologna meal, I can give you all of that today because that's yours. It is yours at that. I was praying for someone the other day, I don't know who it was, and I was praying, it was a southern boy, and I said, may the Lord bless you. May he give you a large portion of the chicken fried steak with all the white gravy, and I said, with the fried okra on the side, and tears just begin to come down his eyes. I am not kidding you. He got the word. So that's the word today for you, is get all the white gravy and everything, and the black-eyed peas, the whole thing. So some summer squash. Let's move on. Wow, I'm hungry, baby. That's what no breakfast will do to you. Guys, we could stop there. Because I could say by the field. And when it just even comes to being part of the Vineyard Church of Conroe, by the field. Buy it. I don't care where you're at. As God calls you and you know he's called you, you buy in. That's part of a very tangible way of buying into the kingdom of God. It's not the only way. And certainly if that's where you stopped it, you would suffer dearly. Oh, but it's a powerful thing in your life. He says in verse 16, after I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord. Oh, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. That's not a good thing. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct as their deeds deserve. You perform signs and wonders in Egypt, and you have continued them to this day in Israel among all mankind, and have gained the renown that is still yours. You brought your people Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and great terror. You gave them the land as you sworn to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and they took possession of it, but they didn't obey you or follow your law. They did not do what you commanded them to do. So you brought this disaster on them. And you see how the siege ramps are built up to take the city? Because of the sword, famine, and plague, the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you said has happened as you now see. And though the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians, you, sovereign Lord, say to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witnessed. Now, my voice is going up and down for a reason. Doesn't this prayer start off kicking? He's like, oh, you're good, God. I know all the good stuff you did, and I know that this is good, but I'm having some doubts right now because, you know, we're here because we're sinners, and it doesn't look real good, you know, and yet I've just paid 17 pieces of silver for, you know. Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah. He was a bullfrog and was a good friend of mine. I'll let you finish that one. The reality of truth, guys, doesn't leave a lot of hope for Jerusalem. And it pretty much means for Jeremiah, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's a gullible rube. Let's just be honest. As he looks around him, the harsh realities that unfold do not speak well for the decision he's made. He's got one thing he's hanging on to, and what is it? The call of God. That's what he's buying into, is the call of God. He's not buying into, well, this looks like a really good real estate opportunity. Buy low, sell high. He doesn't get to flip property. He's not ever going to get to see it. And from what I understand, he never did. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not smart what's going on. He's only buying the field because God says, buy the field. That's why he's buying the field. And see, the kingdom call to buy in contradicts common wisdom because it anticipates God's future. That's what it does. And I'm not telling you to make foolish decisions by any means. And neither is God. By no means is God calling you to make a foolish decision. He calls us to commitment, but he wants us to be aware of the risk that's there. And anytime you see someone trying to sell you something as beautiful and try to wash away the problems so they can sell it to you, you need to beware. But that's never been what Jesus has done. And it's never what we've done here. I haven't given you a lot of nice sermons, but Lord bless you. But there's a wonderful thing about the kingdom. It's real and it's valuable and it's based on the anticipation of the future of the kingdom. For the here and now, but also for the remainder of what will happen when the kingdom will come into its fullness when Jesus Christ returns. I'm not saying you're waiting to die. I'm not even saying you're waiting for Jesus to come back, because there's good things now. But buy-in means you got to look at the reality of it. If you think the reality of it is I come to Jesus and I never have a problem and I end up getting Christian, underarm deodorant and everything smells good and everything's fine, you're going to be very disappointed, because there's some people who stink in this church just like they do in any other church, but I love them because they're my children. But you get my point. And metaphorically, we're a hurting group of people. And I don't know a church that isn't, if it's being the church. So we understand that buy-in doesn't always look real good. Buy-in doesn't always speak to us and say this is a wise choice. But it contradicts common wisdom. Why do I want to be around people who scare me? It's not safe for my children. Why would I go somewhere where over there they got a big old Nintendo? I don't even know if Nintendo's a game anymore. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And I think you should go to any church that does have a Nintendo, as long as you're called there. I think you should take whatever job God calls you to. And they don't always look good. Some of you may be young pastors who are in the making. And you may go to seminary and you may have your mind set on the mega church, but God may call you to a farming community and you may go there and you may run that church till every person in that town dies and you may nail that door closed and walk away. And I would say you're a hero and you're a success and you did what God called you to do. Let's understand something. God's wisdom is based on what he sees. He sees from the end to the beginning, and he knows what he's doing, and he's got your future in his hands. His call on your life is better than your dreams for your life, and you better have that sold out when you buy the field, because you can trust him, absolutely trust him that he's got you. And I'm telling you, there's not a day that doesn't go by that at times I think of running. I don't think of what's next, what's next, what's next. He says, you're going to get up and you're going to do it again. That's what's next. That's what's next. Because he never gets tired of getting up, as we shared last week, and saying, sunrise, moonrise, daisies grow. Every day his creation's new to him. And every day I walk in the newness of what he's called me, and I call you that as well. But see, what he's calling you to is a resolute decision based on truth. You understand that? When Jesus, the guy says to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus says, oh, you're going to love it. It's awesome. We're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to make intimate friendships. You're going to hear the word, brother. He says, man, fox, I always use this, but foxes have holes and birds have nests. I've got no home. I got nowhere to lay my head. You want to follow me? Because he realizes that buying the field contradicts common wisdom. And he wanted that disciple to know this here. It's difficult following me at times. You'll find nothing better in your life, nothing richer, because that's where the treasure is in the field. But it's not easy. Not all the time. Not all the time. Paul would write to the Corinthians, he said this here, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, though. I put the though in there. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So when we trust God, and when we do things God's way, you're buying the field, and you're sowing a good seed, and a good fertile crop is what you're going to get back. John Wimber used to say, I'm Christ's fool. Whose fool are you? Because I'm completely sold out to what he wants to do in my life. And he walked away from everything that spoke of success to be a fool for Christ. God gave him great success. He never thought a movement of churches would come at his behest or at his leadership when he's at the helm of leadership. He just knew he was quitting his job as a man who made records and got paid 3-digit salaries back in the 60s to go clean out oil buckets and to be discovered as somebody who actually had a gift to call young worshipers together. This is a call that was foolishness. But John answering his call is why I stand here with you today. And hopefully my call to foolishness, to walk away from everything that I had ever lived to do as a musician, finally arriving, finally being where I wanted to be, and to say, I'm done. I'm going to go plant a church in Texas and have this person say, well, we'll pay you this much money if you'll come here. We'll pay you this much money if we'll come here. How much money is waiting for me in Texas? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but hard labor. Teresa's in Australia, and this guy walks up and says, hey, I see you, and every time I see you, I get the name Raymond. Does that mean anything to you? And she says, that's my husband's name. He said this here. He said, you have been given a call to go down a certain path, but someone's offering you another pathway. Oh, and it was a lot of money. He said to Teresa, don't take that path. God has told you to stay on the path he's called you to. And that's the one we've always given our life to. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But I'm a fool. And I've bought the field. And I've bought it several times and will continue buying the field. When we bought this building, guys, it was 3 days after 9/11. The world was supposed to end. No one was going to come to church anymore. It was foolishness. When I bought the house next door, it should have been torn down. Thank you, Jackie and Ken and Randy and everyone else who got involved. I bought the field because I knew that it said something to the community to be involved. When God called me and Teresa to start adopting children, we bought the field. We don't feel like we're the best parents in the world. Sometimes we feel like we're the worst. But I hear God's call resounding in my ear every time I pick one of my children up and bring them in for that embrace. I've bought the field. I'm calling you to buy the field. We can trust him. When he says buy the field, you can trust him. I read the last section quickly. You're saying about this city, by the sword and famine and plague, it will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. Things are going to turn around, folks, he says. They will be my people and I will be their God. I'm going to give them a singleness of heart, a heart that can love me. I'm giving them the heart because they can't seem to screw up enough faith and enough courage to do it. It's me giving it to them. And they'll always fear me and they will go well for them and their children after them. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them and I will Inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me again. I will rejoice in doing them good. I will assuredly plant them in this land with my heart and soul. This is what the Lord says, as I have brought all this great calamity on these people. And by the way, they could look around them and see all the calamity, as sure as it was being said. So I will give them all the prosperity I've promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is a desolate waste without people or animals, for it has been given into the hands of the Babylonians. Fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed, sealed, and witnessed in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, in the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills, and of the Negev, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. You see, the kingdom call to buy in is always a secure investment because God is the guarantee. He is the guarantor of it. Buy the field. It is the investment of your life. Do not continue to go running from thing to thing. Stop and buy the field. But what if my life would have been different? I'll never forget my son-in-law when he was about to marry my daughter, Carrie. He said, "How do I know?" I said, "Because the moment you say I do, she was." She was the one. That's it. She was, what's that thing I call again? Oh, my soulmate. How do I know you're my soulmate? Because you said I do. And he looked at me in the face and said, "I got it. That's good." He said to me just a couple of weeks ago, he says, "I remember you telling me that. And I walk in that way when I do things today. When I planted a church in Nicaragua, I thought, I do. That's how I know it's right. Because God, I'm doing it for you. That's what I'm doing. I'm buying the field on that call. I'm telling you the truth. There's no one who leaves his house or wife or siblings or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive more than he was given up. Much more. In this age and the age to come, he will receive eternal life." And we read that to you last week, but I'll read it again. What you give up to buy this field, you will receive much more in this life and life to come. He guarantees that. And the writer of Hebrews would say, "Let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful." Buy the field. Would you stand with me now and ask the ministry teams to come forward? And as if they come forward, that resounding call of the kingdom comes out and says, this Jesus Christ is the treasure of the kingdom of God. And he has given you life and promised you life. Today, will you say yes and fully embrace the magnificent one and his life for you? Some of us are sitting on a fence, and it's a very precarious place to sit. It's a place for injury and pain. You cannot live the kingdom life sitting on the fence. You might get one foot blessed, but the other foot is out in the cold. Come into the field. Embrace the kingdom life. How will you even know the treasure that is yours if you will not approach the place to which it's buried? Come and mind this one named Jesus, guys. Give him your life. Buy the field. And throw yourself headlong into the kingdom life. And for some of you today, that speaks to you in a way I could never point it out. I could never give you application that would take it to the depths of your heart. But the Holy Spirit is right now. And he wants to come and he wants to work with you. And he wants you to receive prayer today, ministry. If it's not here somewhere, some way, that he can speak to you in the quiet of your heart, drawing out that direction, drawing out that clarion call of the kingdom. I invite you to come down today. That your commitment would be one that is forged in the fires of Jesus Christ. God says, "I'll give you that heart.
You can't have it. I will give you a singleness of heart. Trust me, by the field. I will give it to you. I will give you an everlasting covenant, one whereby you will find a singleness of relationship with Him. Come by the field. He wants to lay on you the treasure of your life and bless you. Heavenly Father, we bless today in the name of Jesus Christ for those who would come seeking prayer for healing of their bodies, healing of their hips, of their shoulders, of their organs. Those who would come healing, saying, I need healing for my relationships. I need to know how to love again. I need to know how to hurt again. That you would meet them in this time. I need to know how to believe again. Where am I going? Meet them in this call. Meet them in this call, Lord. I need to know how to commit again. I've been hurt. I've been hurt by good, godly men and women. I've been hurt. Come, please, by the field. Let the kingdom fall upon you. And be blessed in the name of the Father and His beloved Son, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, who indwells you now even, is a habitat of these three in one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today.